In an age where truth seems increasingly fluid, the truth war stands as a passionate defense of objective reality. Have you ever wondered why some Christians throughout history chose torture or death rather than deny their beliefs? This isn't blind fanaticism. It's conviction that truth exists, matters eternally, and is worth defending. Today, a subtle but profound shift has occurred in how we think about truth itself. No longer viewed as fixed and knowable, truth has become personal, subjective, and malleable. This battle isn't merely academic, it strikes at the very heart of Christianity. If truth cannot be known with certainty, how can anyone claim to know God? If doctrine doesn't matter, what exactly are we believing in? The stakes couldn't be higher. This is a war over reality itself, with eternal consequences hanging in the balance. The postmodern mindset has infiltrated Christianity, with many church leaders now celebrating ambiguity and uncertainty as spiritual virtues. Doubt is portrayed as humility, while clarity is dismissed as arrogance. Prominent evangelical voices suggest we haven't got the gospel right yet and warn against the danger in the quest to be right. This contradicts historical Christianity. While believers have always acknowledged our knowledge is imperfect, they understood God has spoken with sufficient clarity in Scripture. The apostles presented their teaching as authoritative truth, not mere conversation starters. Most concerning is how uncertainty has been rebranded as spiritual maturity. Speaking with conviction about biblical meaning is now viewed as simplistic. This isn't humility, it's intellectual pride that places human limitations above divine revelation, suggesting God couldn't communicate clearly. When churches replace "the Bible teaches" with "in my journey" or "I feel," they aren't becoming more authentic, they're abandoning their divine commission. Truth isn't determined by personal experience, but has been fixed by God's mind. Biblical spiritual warfare never authorizes force to advance God's kingdom. When Peter drew his sword to defend Jesus, he was commanded to put it away. Our battle isn't against flesh and blood, but against ideas and false doctrines opposing the knowledge of God. The battlefield is the mind, with truth's triumph as the goal. Our only offensive weapon is the word of truth and the power of God. This contradicts the notion that doctrine matters less than lifestyle. Jesus emphasized that salvation depends on hearing and believing his word. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. Right belief forms the foundation of right behavior. The early Christian martyrs proved truth is worth dying for. Ignatius refused to sacrifice to idols and faced beasts. Polycarp, after 86 years serving Christ, refused to curse him and was burned alive. Today's truth war centers on fundamental issues, the objectivity and knowability of truth in God's Word, its inspiration, authority, sufficiency, and clarity. These aren't peripheral matters, but the very foundation of faith itself. False teachers rarely announce themselves. They maintain polished veneers of spirituality, imitating spiritual fruit while disguising themselves as ministers of righteousness. Rather than attacking truth directly, they subtly redefine doctrine, introducing just enough doubt to eventually collapse the entire structure. Scripture warns about those who have crept in unnoticed, individuals who've gained acceptance within the church, often as respected leaders. The church's most determined enemies typically come from within. The Judaizers posed one of the earliest threats by insisting on combining faith with ritual observance for justification. Though seemingly minor, Paul recognized this as a different gospel, merit versus grace. Later, Gnosticism threatened the church by denying Christ's humanity, while Arianism denied his deity. Both spread during times of doctrinal complacency. At Arianism's peak, Jerome lamented that the whole world awoke with a groan, astonished to find itself Arian. Today's false teaching often takes subtler forms, not outright rejection of Scripture, but insistence that its meaning can't be known with certainty. By undermining confidence in biblical clarity, these teachers effectively achieve the same result as those who openly reject it. Discernment, the ability to distinguish truth from error, has fallen on hard times. Taking doctrinal stances now gets one labeled obstinate or unloving. Many believe Christians should never argue, despite Scripture being filled with polemics. This decline stems from several factors. The church's preoccupation with image has led many to believe winning the world requires winning its favor. Both seeker-sensitive and emerging church approaches prioritize making unbelievers comfortable over confronting unbelief. The failure to practice biblical church discipline has blurred boundaries between church and world. When sin goes unaddressed, worldly thinking infiltrates. Deteriorating spiritual maturity has left Christians unable to discern truth from error. Surveys reveal alarming biblical illiteracy, even among born-again believers, a direct result of shallow teaching. Hebrews 5:12-6:1 connects discernment with maturity. Solid food is for the mature, who, because of practice, have their senses trained to discern good and evil. Discernment isn't mystical, but results from a disciplined mind nourished by Scripture. Consider this. What if doctors refuse to diagnose diseases for fear of appearing judgmental? The spiritual consequences would be far more devastating than the physical. At the heart of all apostasy lies the rejection of Christ's authority. False teachers resent his lordship because their rebellious hearts crave authority for themselves, either through outright denial of his divinity or by questioning the clarity of his word. When church leaders suggest Scripture lacks sufficient clarity for confident preaching, they undermine Christ's headship. This hermeneutic of humility isn't humble. It's arrogant unbelief, refusing to acknowledge God has spoken clearly. Christ's headship over the church is central to God's eternal purpose. The Father's redemption plan exalts His Son as Lord over all creation, culminating in putting all things under Christ's feet and establishing Him as head of the church. Diminishing Scripture's clarity or suggesting doctrine doesn't matter undermines Christ's lordship itself. If His words can't be understood clearly enough to obey, how can He truly be Lord? This explains why Jesus reserved His harshest words for false teachers, calling them blind guides, whitewashed tombs, and children of hell, reflections of the seriousness of misleading others about divine truth. Scripture provides four essential disciplines to remain faithful when truth is under attack. Build yourself up through Scripture study. Pray in the Holy Spirit to maintain communion with God. Keep yourself in God's love through obedience and anticipate Christ's return. Our duty includes rescuing those led astray with tailored approaches. Some need gentle correction because they're confused, others require urgent intervention, while committed apostates demand extreme caution. The church can regain discernment by confronting relativism and applying God's word. Truth isn't determined by opinion or cultural consensus, it's what God decrees. Scripture serves as our infallible source that believers must study, live by, and proclaim. Standing firm requires courage in a world celebrating uncertainty. It means accepting labels like intolerant while valuing truth above popularity. Christianity without conviction isn't Christianity at all. Truth matters because God matters, and that truth is worth fighting for.